Welcome to Vitalita Health. I'm Lisa Henderson, a registered dietitian nutritionist and a proud Gen Xer. If you're a Gen Xer, you've landed in the right place. I created this podcast specifically with you in mind, to provide you with current high-quality information about healthy aging and healthy living during this busy time in your life. In this show, we'll approach health from a whole person perspective, and we'll discuss a variety of health topics, from nutrition and exercise, to managing stress and emotions, to sleep, cognitive health, and beyond. We'll also discuss strategies for preventing or managing chronic conditions like diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, and obesity, just to name a few. Before we jump in, just a quick reminder to subscribe or follow this show so you don't miss an episode. Also, please rate, review, or share this podcast with friends or family who might benefit from it. The reason why I think it's important to discuss an anti-inflammatory diet in depth on this show is because inflammation in the body is a major contributor to many chronic conditions, including diabetes, heart disease, dementia, and some types of cancer. And as a Gen Xer in midlife, you are at a critical point in your health span if you make significant improvements now to the way you eat. This will not only improve your health and vitality now, but also well into the future. Adopting an anti-inflammatory diet for the long term is a giant step in that direction and will help you prevent or improve the chronic conditions mentioned a moment ago. And this way of eating is also beneficial for the brain, for improving joint pain, and for weight management. So really, lots of reasons to consider it and bring the principles of it into your life and your kitchen. By the way, if you're befuddled by the variety of different diets I've posted episodes on in the last few weeks, please know this is not meant to confuse you. All of the diets I've discussed recently have a lot of elements in common, and they all tend to recommend whole foods that are anti-inflammatory. So today's show is not about discussing a specific diet per se, but more an opportunity to outline for you the main features of a way of eating that will reduce inflammation in your body and help you feel better. Before we jump in, just a quick reminder to subscribe or follow this show so you don't miss an episode. Also, please rate, review, or share this podcast with friends or family who might benefit from it. Upcoming topics for the show in the next several weeks include highlights from the dietitian conference that I just attended last week, and in which I gained a ton of new information that I can't wait to share with you. Also, I'm planning episodes that will feature interviews with fellow dietitians and experts on tips for coping with diabetes, the nutritional benefits of red meat, and performance nutrition for the athlete in us all. So let's talk about inflammation. Inflammation is the immune system's response to an irritant. And in the short term, acute inflammation can protect us. For example, when you get a cut on your hand, there is an immediate inflammatory response that generates redness, heat, and swelling. Your immune system kicks into high gear and releases a flood of chemicals to neutralize the situation. It's just like a firefighter rushing in and using a fire extinguisher to put out a fire. Your body is going to quickly do whatever it needs to put out the fire, but there will also be some collateral damage along with that. So an irritant that occurs over and over again and continues long term causes chronic inflammation. For example, eating foods every day that are high in sugar causes frequent blood sugar spikes. And that's an irritant and creates chronic inflammation. Chronic inflammation causes, aggravates, or is linked to many chronic diseases like heart disease, arthritis, diabetes, cancer, asthma, Alzheimer's, and depression. Sources of inflammation include an unhealthy diet, excessive alcohol use, long-term exposure to environmental chemicals, autoimmune disorders, infection or injury, radiation, and also stress. We can control some of the inflammation we encounter through a healthy diet and lifestyle. In particular, anti-inflammatory foods are beneficial for our health because they reduce inflammation in the body. One of the very best things you can do for your health is to replace inflammatory foods, foods like sugar, white bread, fried foods, with anti-inflammatory foods. The Mediterranean diet is an anti-inflammatory diet overall, and we discussed this diet a couple of months ago on the show as a healthy diet for the heart. In addition, there are particular types of foods that you can focus on getting into your diet on a regular basis that will fight inflammation. So here they are, anti-inflammatory foods. So the first thing to think about is whole foods, having your diet be mostly composed of whole foods rather than processed foods. And omega-3 fats, EPA and DHA, are particularly anti-inflammatory. So you can find EPA and DHA, omega-3 fats, in cold water fatty fish like salmon, sardines, herring, trout, mackerel, tuna, and also seafood like mussels and oysters. And with these, you want to buy wild. Wild will contain more omega-3s than farmed. And you want to aim for including these foods in your diet a few times a week. If you don't like fish or seafood, ask your doctor or dietitian if 1 or 2 grams a day of a supplement of fish oil would be okay. If you are getting a supplement, I would say for most people, look for a balance. Look at the label and look for a balance of EPA to DHA. But if you can try to get your omega-3s and EPA and DHA from foods, try to do that if you can. Don't necessarily rely on the supplement because the best way to get these nutrients are from food. Then for vegetarians, there is a vegetarian plant-based omega-3 called ALA. And ALA is found in flaxseed and walnuts. And these are definitely healthy fats, but they're not necessarily that anti-inflammatory. This is because most of these fats, when they're metabolized, they're not metabolized necessarily into anti-inflammatory compounds in the body, like EPA is. So, like I said, they're healthy fats, but these particular vegetarian ones are not necessarily anti-inflammatory so much. However, you can find them in those foods that I mentioned, flaxseed, walnuts. If you do want to get a vegetarian EPA DHA source, you can get a supplement of that that's based on algae. So there's a type of algae that you can get as a supplement, and it's completely vegan, and that's a way for you to get that valuable EPA and DHA into your diet. So I would recommend that for vegetarians. And then in regards to fats, some foods to avoid, you know, you want to avoid inflammatory foods. You want to avoid fried foods, trans fats, and you want to minimize your intake of saturated fat. Next, let's talk about antioxidants. So you want to get 5 to 10 servings of veggies or fruit each day. And this is because veggies and fruit naturally contain high levels of health-protecting antioxidants. And you want to eat the skin if you can. If it's edible and it doesn't have damage to it, you want to eat the skin. The skin actually contains many antioxidants. So you want to wash it well. You know, we're in the era of COVID, so you want to wash the skin really well, maybe with some white vinegar and water. But you do want to try to eat the skin if possible, because if you peel that all off, you're losing some of the antioxidants. Another thing to keep in mind is that teas are a great source of antioxidants and polyphenols. So green tea, black tea, white tea, all of those types of teas, in particular green tea, I would say is the highest in these. They all contain antioxidants that are beneficial. Next, let's talk about probiotics. Probiotics are beneficial bacteria that support your gut health. And having a healthy balance of beneficial bacteria in your gut help keep things working smoothly, reduce the levels of harmful bacteria, and prevent dysbiosis. And supporting your gut health is really important to reduce inflammation. It's also important for effective digestion and absorption of foods and nutrients, and also for brain health. So probiotics, you can definitely get a high dose of probiotics in a supplement, and there's a variety of supplements out there for that. As far as foods, you can definitely get probiotics in yogurt. Some yogurts will be higher or lower than others, but definitely yogurt is a great source of probiotics. And other good sources are fermented foods like kombucha, sauerkraut, or kimchi. So the next category that is anti-inflammatory are whole foods-based carbs. In other words, whole food healthy carbs like vegetables, fruit, whole grains, and legumes. You want to have healthy carbs in moderation. You just want to avoid sugar and refined and processed carbs, which tend to cause your blood sugar to spike. Each time your blood sugar spikes, it creates inflammation. And doing this over and over time will create chronic inflammation in your body. So you definitely want to focus instead on having those whole food forms of carbs, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, and fruit. Having those in moderation causes a more gradual rise in blood sugar. Also, eating protein with carbs will help prevent blood sugar spikes. For example, having some protein when you eat fruit is not a bad idea. Having a handful of nuts when you have fruit or eating fruit with a meal will also tend to decrease the glycemic load. As far as grains, you want to have whole grains in place of refined grains. So some examples would be for rice, having brown, red, black, or wild rice in place of white rice. Or for oatmeal or cereal, having oatmeal like rolled oats or steel-cut oats in place of cold processed cereal. And next or last, we'll talk about sweets, reducing intake of added sugar, reducing intake of juice, sugar-sweetened beverages. All of these sweet foods and beverages cause your blood sugar to spike. So you definitely want to minimize those in your diet because they're definitely inflammatory. So to summarize, four types of foods are anti-inflammatory: fish and seafood, which is rich in the omega-3s, EPA, and DHA; vegetables and fruit, which contain a bounty of antioxidants; probiotics, such as in yogurt and naturally fermented foods or from a supplement; and whole food forms of carbs, again, vegetables, fruit, whole grains, and legumes. I hope you learned something new from this episode. If you enjoyed it, I would love it if you would leave me a 5-star review. As a reminder, you can visit my website, vitalitahealth.com. That's VITA. LITA health.com to listen directly to my podcast episodes, to read my blog on nutrition and health, and to learn more about me. In addition, I started a Facebook page for this podcast as a way to engage with my listeners and provide you with updates. So I encourage you to check that out and follow this page. Also, feel free to contact me directly at vitalitahealth@gmail.com. I hope you have an amazing week. See you right back here next week. This podcast discusses wellness strategies for health in an informational and educational manner only, with information that is general in nature and that is not specific to you. This podcast is not intended to replace medical advice, nor to diagnose, prescribe, or treat any disease, condition, illness, or injury. You should consult a physician or other trusted healthcare professional before adopting any of the suggestions in this podcast. Neither myself, Lisa Henderson, or Vitalita Health accept any liability for any loss, damage, illness, or injury.